Welcome to Get Your Barbecue On with Ken Alexander. Get Your Barbecue On is a show for backyard cooks looking for tips and insight into barbecuing, grilling, entertaining, and enjoying themselves outside with delicious food. Each week, we'll share some barbecuing and grilling tips, techniques, recipes, and a few pitmaster secrets you just have to know. Every show will feature fun, interesting, and informative guests. And we'll also answer listener questions. Please send your questions to getyourbbqon@gmail.com or visit our website at kenshardwoodbbq.com and click podcast. Hey, welcome to Get Your Barbecue On, the podcast. I'm Ken Alexander, and I'm here with the doctor, my co-host.
Dun, 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 dun.
Dr. Andre Jones.
I'm here. How you doing?
I'm doing great. We're a few weeks into January, but this is our first show of the year.
I know. We've been slacking. We took a long holiday break.
Yes, we did. Happy New Year.
Well, Happy New Year to you. How is 2021 treating you?
So far, so good.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
We got 2020 behind us.
Yes.
And we've got big things planned for 2021.
And I'm excited. I'm excited.
Yeah. I'm happy to be back.
Yeah.
We're starting season three.
That's right. Here we are.
Yeah. Season three. We're going to start this season three episode. We're going to be talking about Super Bowl parties.
Ooh, the big game. The big game's coming.
The big game.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to have the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yeah.
With Tom Brady.
So weird, but okay.
Yeah.
Sure.
right. And they're going to be playing the Kansas City Chiefs.
Wow.
Patrick Mahomes.
Wow.
Yeah, it's lining up. It's going to be a great game, great Super Bowl.
Absolutely. See, COVID cannot stop the Super Bowl.
And I'm pretty sure COVID is not going to stop Super Bowl parties.
No, not at all.
Right.
Because it will happen.
Yes.
It definitely will happen.
So today we're going to talk about how to have a safe Super Bowl party, a party during COVID-19.
Okay.
Yeah. So
that sounds good.
We're
going to
talk about that. And we have, we're starting out the year with a great guest we're having on the show.
Oh.
Yeah.
Who we got?
We're going to have Dr. Scott Benson.
A doctor?
He's
another doctor in the room?
Another doctor.
Am my doctor just not good enough? Just kidding.
No. So he's going to be here talking to us about chiropractic medicine.
Ooh.
Right. He's a local chiropractor here in Tucson, Arizona.
Yeah.
And he's going to come here. He's going to be talking to us about that science of.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of rumors and you know, he's gonna help us out
because
a lot of people are kind of scared to go to see the chiropractor,
right?
And yeah, he's gonna talk to us about, you know, what it's all about, what it does, and what kind of ailments that they treat.
Perfect. Well, he's here, he can align me real quick.
I'm pretty sure
Pop some bones.
he'll line your spine.
Exactly.
He'll line your spine or something like that.
There you go.
So Dr. Benson's going to be around on the second half of the show.
Yeah.
So please stay tuned in.
Awesome.
All right. So next up, we're going to go ahead and let's talk a little bit about the Super Bowl.
You got it.
You know, I've always had, have these Super Bowl parties, bring folks over.
Yeah.
Do a lot of fun things, get ready, get everybody psyched up for the game.
Right.
Yeah.
The potato chips, the fries, the dogs.
Yeah. And I know a lot of folks. Some folks, you know, that's like a major event.
Right.
Every year.
Right.
And they look forward to it, throwing it and attending Super Bowl parties.
Absolutely.
But this year, it could be kind of dangerous.
Yeah, very true. We got COVID still hanging around.
Right. So how do you still have a Super Bowl party and keep everybody safe?
Right.
I mean, so we'll just start out from the first. First, you need a plan.
Mm.
a plan, just like in the game. They're going to need a game plan.
That's
you're
right.
going to need a plan.
Right. And we're not just talking about the play either, or what you're going to make. We're talking about a plan for the whole event.
Yeah, plan for the whole event to keep everybody safe. So I would say first off is to know or find out what your local state and the CDC guidelines for the size of gatherings. Mm-hmm. You know, how many people are they saying that you can have or get together for a party in your town?
Right, because it varies from town to town, state to state.
Right. But that's a good place to start and just knowing what that is.
Okay.
And then the next thing is, you know, once you've determined that, is like how many people can your home accommodate if you have to space people, you know, like 6 feet or whatever.
Sure.
That kind of stuff. And so, and then that will determine, you know, how many people you're going to invite and your guest list.
Right.
So, that's one of the first things. And even though it's COVID, you want people to be comfortable.
Yeah.
But you don't want a super spreader event, you know?
Right.
I mean?
Exactly. Exactly.
Right, right.
You don't want to be found on Facebook.
That's right.
For having a super. Yeah. No, not a good thing.
Yeah. Now, I mean, so do you have a Super Bowl party or do folks come by or you usually just go join a party?
You know, I used to go join parties until they kind of banned me.
From the Super Bowl party.
Not allowed to go. Because I can guess the game. I can guess the outcome of the game.
Oh, yeah.
I'm really good at figuring out. I swear I could have won millions.
Wow.
Yeah,
wow.
But I'm not a gambling man. So all this information goes nowhere. But when I, you know, we at one time, I think we had some Super Bowl parties at the house, but usually I just jump around and find some. To go to. Then I have to keep my mouth shut, so I feed
around,
myself. Mm-hmm, very much. Just like the song says, jump around.
Jump around. Right. So the thing is, you got to have a plan. The Super Bowl is going to start 6:30 Eastern out here where we are, which is Mountain Standard Time.
Yeah.
It's going to come on
4:30. Okay. Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah, 4:30-ish. So the thing is, once you have determined your guest list, how many people you can invite, it's a couple of things. Is like, so because a lot of people are just going to have, if you're just going to have a party where, I mean, it's the folks that you are already around all the time anyway, at the house.
Right.
Then you don't have to worry about all this stuff.
Right, exactly.
Right, right.
Exactly.
But it's when you bring in other people in that you haven't really been around that much and you don't know where they've been. That's when you really have to, you know, this matters.
Right.
Okay.
When it comes out of your circle, when they're not part of your immediate circle, this is where this begins.
That's where it begins.
Yeah.
So the first thing you're looking at is sanitation and how you set up the home. And what, you know, we'll call this like, it's not like tailgating. You're not out at the game or anything.
Right.
But we're going to call this home gating.
Home gating. I like that. Yes.
So you're going to be home gating and you're going to host this home gating event. And so, you know, you want to make sure you have a lot of disinfectants, wipe tissues, hand sanitizer. And you want to, I would say you want to have some no-touch garbage cans.
Oh, the ones that you just kind of open up with
your
foot?
Yeah, just put your foot
down
and just drop it in there.
Yeah, that's
like
perfect.
That. Right. And then probably the most, you know, space that everybody's going to be going back and forth to, it's going to be the bathroom.
Oh, yeah.
So that's where you want to make sure you have plenty of hand soap, paper towels. Mm-hmm. You want wipes and, again, you know, trash bins and stuff in the bathroom.
Yeah.
And maybe some extra hand sanitizer or whatever.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, you may never know.
Right,
yeah.
right. So you want to make sure you're covering all of that. And then are you going to have an indoor or outdoor event?
Oh.
Now, in my house, we usually have TVs. We have an outdoor kitchen, but we also have TVs inside. So we'll set up both areas.
Yeah. Got it. So that way they can spread out.
Set up both areas. And, you know, inside, you want to set up seating.
Mm-hmm.
You want to set up the seating 6 foot apart. But, I mean, if you got people that are from the same family and they're like a husband and wife or, you know, a little family, you could set up their seats together.
Yeah.
You could set up, you know, other seats.
Family together.
Apart.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly. Kind of
so
separate them.
Right. You could separate them.
Yeah. Absolutely. And
right.
Space them. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You can space them and they can be together. And like I said, you like that.
Yeah.
And then also outside, you know, it's sort of the same thing, you know, if you're setting up your seating and stuff outside. And I mean, and also if you want to set up any games or anything
like
that.
Outside. Sure.
Because a lot of times we set up the cornhole.
Okay.
Right. You want to play some cornhole or something like that and have all that set up outside, you know, doing your, you know, setup for the ball.
Right.
For the ball game. You want to make sure all your TVs, you know, all the sound system, you want to run, you want to do some dry runs and make sure everything's working.
Right.
So it's the last
don't want to test it on the day of.
Yeah. The last thing you want is technical difficulties when the big game is coming on or you scrambling around as guests are coming up. So you want to make sure all that stuff is done early so you can actually be a host. Instead of, I mean, so you can actually
enjoy
the game.
Right. Instead of being the IT technician, trying to fix everything.
Yeah. Instead of running around, you know, like a chicken with his head cut off during the game.
Yeah. Makes sense.
Right. So anyway, so you want to make sure the whole setup, everything's right. Indoors, outdoors, the spacing. You might even want, I mean, if you need to, you can put little things on the ground just to keep people apart or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. Little stickers to
little
let them
sticker
know.
So you know you're getting too close or whatever. Or just, we want to stay. And then you might even want us, you know, one of the things is when people arrive, you want to like give everybody the ground rules. Game rules.
Right.
And that is like, is that going to be like mask wearing? You know, when you're not eating, we want you to wear your mask. When you're not, you know, just certain what the rules are for safety and that. So you can just kind of tell them up front.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't want to be like, you know, some tyrant or anything like that. It's like, so, I mean, just lay them out and so people can cooperate and everybody knows what's going on.
Maybe even text them or email them before. So that way they have it and they'll know.
Yeah, that'd be great. I mean, I guess it would probably be best if you did send those out early. And that way, if they don't want to comply.
Right. They don't have to show up.
They don't have to show up.
They're watching the Super Bowl at home.
Yeah, they can just stay home if they don't want to wear a mask.
Exactly.
Yeah,
makes sense to me. Fine.
Yeah, makes sense to me too.
Yeah,
Yeah, that's a good idea, doctor. Yeah,
you know, they call me doctor for a reason. I just don't know why yet.
So just a couple other things.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things, and we do this a lot anyway, I mean, is that when people come, as far as like the flatware, the cups, any kind of condiments or this, in this situation, you certainly want to be able to, like when folks come by, you can just like hand them a cup.
Right.
Give them a cup, have a marker.
Yeah, a little Sharpie to put
Sharpie,
their name on it.
And
yeah.
People can put their names on it.
Good idea.
And then have plasticware. You have, you know, plastic flatware.
Right.
And then you can have, like, if you have different kind of condiments or whatever, you can have, like, the condiments, the individual condiments.
Yeah, the packets.
Like ketchup.
Right.
Ketchup and relish and all those things. You can have the individual condiments and that kind of thing.
So that way they're not sharing the ketchup bottle.
So they're not sharing a ketchup bottle or that, you know. So that's, you know, it just kind of reduces the common touching of a bunch of items. And stuff.
The germy touching.
Yeah, the germy touching. So, and that takes care of it. Everybody knows whose cup is whose.
Yeah.
And so I think that is that will help keep folks safe.
Absolutely.
All right. And also, like I said, the mask wearing.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Just say in the rules when you want folks to wear their mask. Of course, you're not going to wear your mask when you're eating.
Right.
Or whatever,
it causes problems when you try that.
Right.
I tried it before. It causes problems.
Right. Now, the other thing is, now we're talking about the food and serving food and how to keep folks safe. Because normally you go to a Super Bowl game and you get there and there's some chips. Yeah, and appetizers,
and everyone's just taking some chips. Like everyone's sharing one big old bowl of chips.
Dips, and I mean, and sometimes you see the
French onion dip,
the infamous double dipper.
Oh, no! Not in this house.
No double dipping.
No, you gross. Go home for that.
But one of the things you can do, and an idea. Yeah, one idea is to pre-package the appetizers.
Yes.
And sort of like a box lunch.
Yeah. Something absolutely. Like that. Right. Yeah.
Right. So if you're gonna have chips or you have some other just little snacks or whatever, so you could take it, put them in a little container, and just have a bunch of little containers, so somebody can just grab that container.
Sure.
As they come in,
right?
And so already everybody, you know, and so you don't have to worry about, you know, contamination. Folks have food when they get there.
Yep.
So just make sure all the appetizers are done.
Right.
Box them up.
Sure.
And you're good to go.
Absolutely. If you're doing wings, have the celery and the carrots and the ranch dressing all right there in the box with their plates and their cups and a Sharpie. Look at that.
Right.
As soon as they come in, they got it all.
Right. Right. And so you got the chips. So you could have. You could have the little small bags of chips.
Yes, that's right.
You can find those in the box. You can get one of those. And so you can have the little appetizers with a bag of chips. And so everybody has their individual bag.
Exactly.
So just think about ideas like that where you can reduce this common touching of things.
Right.
And limit that.
You can make it fun also. You can have one, you know, one team is, you know, one team has this, the other team has that. And, you know, it can make it kind of fun. A box with one team, a box with another team. They have different things, different items in it. And
well, you know makes how people are. I don't know about the different items thing, but they can be different colors.
Oh, right. Colors, sorry. Whatever. Sorry. Yeah, you can tell I don't watch much sports.
Yeah. You start. No, I'm just saying, you know, they're saying, oh, so we're Tampa Bay.
Right.
And we don't get this other thing. You gave them what? What?
Yeah.
You don't.
We gave you more celery than these.
right. So I think you can have team tables. You probably need to have same stuff for each one.
Yeah,
you know?
Probably.
Everybody needs to have the same options for food.
Sure enough, there's my idea. That's probably why I don't have Super Bowl parties at my house.
Okay, so let's talk some more about food.
Please.
So what typical game food are you...
Yeah. So that was my question. Is I usually, you know, when my dad was around and Super Bowl was happening, I would always get wings.
Yeah.
Yeah. I always get wings and fries. That's basically
our
biggest thing.
This is the biggest day for wings.
Yeah.
This Super Bowl is the biggest day for party wings.
Mm. Yeah. That makes sense because that's what we would order. We had to wait for like 3 hours before it was like available.
It's more party wings sold and eaten on Super Bowl Sunday than any other day in the year.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So then how in the world are you going to do the party wings in a safe environment? What would you recommend?
Well, it's a couple of things you can do.
Yeah.
So the first thing we're going to do is a lot of people have party wings, they have burgers,
they
have hot dogs and all those things.
Yeah.
So it's a couple of things you can do. So you have a grill, your grill master there.
That's right. That's me.
And so folks can bring their plates directly to the grill.
Oh.
And the grill master can serve them.
Hot off the
grill. That's one way of doing it. And
you
just wear your mask to the grill.
Yeah.
And bring your plate, a clean plate, and then the grill master, just tell the grill master what you want.
Yeah.
And take it right off the grill and give it to you.
Perfect.
Right. Or the other thing is you can set up a buffet.
Oh.
Yeah, you can set up a buffet, but
you
have a designated server.
One person serving
one
all the
person
food.
Serving everybody.
Yeah.
And again, what happens is you have a mask
as
you come through the line with your clean plate, and then you'll say, hey, I'll give me that. And you have this one person serving.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
A clean plate. It has to be a clean plate.
Yeah, just like at
a buffet.
At the buffet place.
Right. Which probably won't come back, but still. We'll remember them in doing this.
We'll remember them pre 2020.
Yes, exactly.
Those places where you used to walk through and get your own food.
What happened?
So we can do with that. So you can serve directly off the grill. Or okay. You can set up a buffet and have a server. Now, easy. What about drinks? What about ice? What about those things? So it's a couple things you can do. Either you have a bartender or serving all your drinks.
Yeah.
Somebody serving the drinks to everybody. Or it's another thing you could do is you could have folks BYOB.
Oh, bring your own.
Bring your own. You just bring your own drinks. You bring your own whatever it is. And then they have their in their own little coolers.
Yep. Yeah.
And then they're the only reruns reaching in it. They're the only
one. Yeah.
That's a way. So either,
that's a good idea, too.
Right. So either you have one person serving with gloves and all that stuff, or everybody brings their own drinks.
Makes sense.
And this is a way to be almost like completely safe.
Absolutely.
And have a very safe COVID, I mean, Super Bowl during this whole COVID pandemic.
Absolutely.
Right.
It's not a spready germy party. Right.
Not a spready germy party. And then, you know, you're there and you can enjoy the game and enjoy everybody, still have a Super Bowl party and still have a good time.
Well, that's awesome.
And, you know, just think about some of the safety precaution. Take safety precautions.
Well, next year when I have a house, I'll definitely be having a Super Bowl party. And taking this in, even if COVID's not around, we're still doing this. I like this idea.
All right. Yeah.
It's a good idea.
Yeah. I mean, it is a good idea to be sanitized. And when COVID's not around and everybody has their shots and stuff, and you really don't have to wear the mask.
Right.
It's always still safe to, you know, as far as like people washing their hands,
sure,
cleanliness. I think it's picked up a lot because of COVID, and
right,
hopefully it carries over.
Yeah, we've learned a lot. Yeah,
but before that, you know, flu and all those other colds and whatever, they were all spread.
Yeah,
just from
doing everything that we said not to do,
for touching and not washing hands. And all that kind of stuff. So hopefully, you know, after COVID, people will still keep some of these sanitation habits.
I agree.
All right. Anything else, Doc? We kind of missed. If we missed anything,
I don't think so. I think this was great. You know, I'm thinking of like those outdoor parties. You know, make sure that the weather is going to be good. Make sure you check the weather.
Check the weather. You know, we're out here in Arizona, so I mean, even here it could be chilly, and we may need an outdoor heater and those things.
Someone help us.
They're talking about snow tonight.
Talk about snow right snow now. Tonight, right? We're in Tucson.
But the thing is, just make sure everything's working.
Yes.
You know, the day before.
Yes.
Early the day before. Just in case you have to go to Ace Hardware and get a part or anything. Make sure everything's working. Or, you know, there's a cable. The TV cable is missing. Or
HDMI.
All of that stuff.
Yeah.
Hey. Yeah, just do a dry run. Make sure all the TVs, make sure all the music, everything is working.
Yeah.
The day before.
Please.
Because the last thing you want to do is just be rushing around.
Yeah, it's very inconvenient.
All right. So, hey, thank you very much and good luck with your Super Bowl party in 2021.
Go team. I can't tell you who's going to win, but go team.
Yeah. All right. Hey, it's time for us to take a break. But when we come back, we'll be checking in with the doctor for the first time in 2021.
Oh, dear.
And we'll also be answering a listener question.
Sounds good.
Hang in there. We'll be right back.
Hey, everyone. It's your favorite pit master in training, Dr. Andre Jones himself. And I'm super excited to let you know that I have my very own show. That's right. I am the host of All About the Win podcast, where myself and my fellow players interview local and national entrepreneurs about their greatest accomplishment thus far. Plus, we add a little bit of old school magic to make the stories come to life. You can check it out by going to www.allaboutthewinpodcast.com. That's www.allaboutthewinpodcast.com, and prepare to be inspired and entertained.
Hey, welcome back to Get Your Barbecue On with Ken Alexander, the podcast. I'm here with the doctor,
dun, 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 dun.
My co-host, Dr. Andre Jones.
Dun, dun.
And it's that time
of
the show when we answer a listener question.
Indeed, indeed. And this question comes from Jeremy in Santa Fe, New Mexico.
Jeremy from Santa Fe.
Yes, and he is asking how to prevent a flare-up.
A flare-up?
Flare-up. I don't think we talked about this in the show.
Not much. I don't think we've talked about it at all.
Yeah.
Even though we've talked about what you need to basically handle a flare-up.
Right. The charcoal grill?
No, wait, no.
Charcoal chimney.
No.
Really? Not
to handle the flare-up, we talked about the spray bottle.
Oh, yeah, the spritz.
The spritz. Yes, the spritz.
But that's just for spraying on the food.
Well, no. Originally, when you were grilling or whatever, a lot of folks do not start the grill or the smoker without the bottle to manage flare-ups.
Wow. Okay.
Right, especially on a gas grill.
Oh, really?
Right. So we'll talk about gas grill and charcoal grill separately.
Yeah. Okay
so to manage a flare-up on a gas grill, one is, especially when you're cooking like hot dogs and burgers, mm-hmm. or something with a lot of grease, on a gas grill, you really need to keep an eye on it. And then we already said anyway, grilling is fast and
high heat and fast.
So
yeah.
You really have to keep an eye on it. So you want to have a section that's indirect,
okay.
where you either don't have the gas on,
yeah.
or that you don't have the flame there,
yeah.
or it's really low.
Got it.
And then, so how do you handle a flare-up on a gas grill? You take that spritz bottle, that spray bottle,
mm-hmm.
and typically you're going to have some type of flavor. You know, you're always
right.
trying to layer some flavors.
Sure.
So whatever you put in your spray bottle,
yeah.
it's water, and so you spray that down. You spray it and knock that fire out.
Oh, got it.
And that's how you do it.
Okay.
And that's how you get that flame down. And typically, when you're grilling, like I said, you're grilling. So you could turn the eyes down.
Yeah.
Or you could move the meat over to that indirect side.
Makes sense. Right. Makes sense until you get that flame under
control.
Yeah.
Until you get that flame under control.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And you can add it back. But you really have to keep an eye on it when you're on a gas grill. For that
mm-hmm.
reason.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, you know, as burgers get done, you want to be able to move them over to that
sure.
indirect side anyway.
Right.
Right there.
Okay.
Okay.
And what about a charcoal grill?
And the charcoal grill, typically a charcoal grill, like a kettle grill or a barrel grill,
mm-hmm.
you know, the 55-gallon drums or those mm-hmm. kinds of grills, is that it's much easier to manage a flare-up because you can easily eliminate the oxygen.
Oh.
And once you eliminate the oxygen, then the fire is going to go out. The flame is going to go out.
Yeah.
Right, right. So what does that mean?
Close
the
lid.
Top.
Just close the lid.
Put the lid on. Yeah, put the lid on or close the lid and that. So you have to kind of suffocate it.
Right.
And I mean, even if you have a, like I have a barrel grill, a kettle grill at home that I use quite a bit. It's a little bowl. It's a, you know, a little grill.
Yeah.
And it has the holes on the top. And,
yeah.
you know, you can open those, but you don't even have to close them. If you just close, if you just put that top on there.
Yeah.
Like grills such as like a Weber grill. They
sure.
have the little dial on the top.
Yeah.
And it holes and they have the ones on the bottom.
Yeah.
And you can just still leave those open.
Okay.
And just, if you put the top on, the flame is going to go out.
Got it. So just close that big lid.
Just close the lid. Put the lid on. Or
yeah.
if you have a 55-gallon drum, just close the lid,
mm-hmm.
and there it goes. And it's the same thing. When it first flares up,
yeah,
hit that sucker with some
spritz.
With the spritz.
And close the lid.
The spray bottle, close the lid.
Nice.
There you go.
Okay. Fight
right,
it back.
Right. Fight it back. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if it's too hot or getting too hot over there, just move it over to a cool spot on the grill as far as the meat.
Makes sense.
Okay.
And, all right.
And typically, you're going to have flare-ups when you're, but anytime you're using a gas grill, even if you were like smoking a chicken.
Right.
If you're cooking it indirect, it's not going to flame up. It's
right.
only when it's over the
flames.
Yeah.
Right. That makes sense. Yeah. That makes sense.
So,
all right.
All right, Jeremy.
Thank
hopefully
you.
Hopefully that helps you out.
Yeah. And you can leave more listener questions by sending us an email to getyourbbqon@gmail.com. That's getyourbbqon@gmail.com.
Fantastic. All right. Well.
Uh-oh. The silence means there's a,
well,
there's, it's that
yeah,
time.
It's that time. As I said, this is our first time
oh
in 2021.
It's been a while. It's been all that time?
Yeah.
Here we are at the end of January. Really?
Yeah. And we're checking in
uh-huh.
with the doctor. Now, we're expecting a lot now. I mean, it's been a long time since we checked in with our grill master in training.
Right, yeah.
Our pit master in training.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so this ought to be pretty good today.
Wow, no pressure of the introduction at all. Jeez. Right.
So, doctor.
Yes.
What's going on?
Let me tell you, and I'll tell you in story form.
All right.
So here's what's been going on. So the other week I was thinking, you know, what would be really good is some drumsticks. Yeah, some drumsticks. You know, I was at the store and I was looking around and I was like, you know, I have not grilled drumsticks. I want to do this. So I got a big old pack of 12. Okay.
12. That's a lot.
I know.
It was especially for such a small family.
I know. And there's like only one and a half of us because Amanda goes back and forth to her friend's house. So it's like one and a half.
Right.
And the puppy doesn't count. Right. So I was like, I just want to give it a try. Let's see what happens. And one of the things that I really worked on was being less conservative when it comes to my rubs.
Right.
You know, that was one of the things my daughter said, like, hey, you know what? This is good, but more flavor. I'm like, more flavor? Okay, all right. So I got the drumsticks out. They looked good. And I got them all out one at a time. I got my bind. I got some good old, cooking oil, some olive oil, actually.
Okay, olive oil. Yep. So you had a binder.
I did. Right? I put a binder on them, and then I went ahead and marinated. I mean, I combined. What did I use? It was going to be honey hickory?
Mm-hmm.
I think it was honey hickory. And prime rub is what it was called. It's kind of a mixture of all the other seasonings I found.
Okay.
And I drenched them in it. Just rubbed them all in it.
Rub them down.
Exactly. It was orange. I was orange. It was interesting.
Right.
But every leg, every single leg, I put it on there and everything was good. Now, prior to working on the bime, I went to the grill and started my grill up. Now, it had been about a week and a half since I had grilled last.
Okay.
And so I turned it on, but I was smelling gas. I'm like, why in the world am I smelling gas? This is really weird. I'm like, smelling it. And I'm like, okay, maybe it's going away, but I still smell it.
Propane. Smelling propane.
I'm smelling propane. Yeah, right, definitely. Right. So
it's been a week and a half.
I went ahead. I got them all marinated. Everything was good. So let me go ahead and work on the grill. So for some reason, something told me to take a very big step back. Because as soon as I hit the start button of the gas grill, it went woof, and I closed that lid so fast. Like, what in the world? And I'm like, what in the world? What caused that? So now I'm like scared of the grill because I'm worried about my eyebrows and everything else. But I'm like, okay, I can't be afraid of this grill. I'm going to have some amazing drumsticks. That's what I'm going to have.
Right.
So I opened it back up. I set up for my indirect heat, which was actually the first thing I did before I lit it up, which was I'm so glad I did because it blocked a lot of the flame going up.
Okay.
Whew. Being on the second floor in an apartment, this is a big deal.
Yeah.
So I put my nonstick solution on my indirect plate.
Spray. Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
And I got my wings and I put them on there and I had it was 12. So I had to like play Tetris, putting them all together.
Legs.
Yes.
Your
my legs, my drumsticks.
Right.
Play Tetris, putting them all together. Finally, when they were all on, closed the lid, and I was like, well, you know, it's not about time. It's about the internal temperature at 165.
Absolutely.
That is the most important thing. So I set a timer for 30 minutes, and while that's cooking, I'm heating up some greens that was cooked a while ago that I froze.
Mm-hmm.
Also making some potato scallops because you know me, I love my potato scallops.
Yeah, I love scallop potatoes. Yep. Right.
Yeah, that's just my thing, my jam. And then also I had my rolls. So I had my Hawaiian sweet rolls, butter them up, put them in the oven so that way they get nice and a little crispy.
Right.
Meanwhile, I go back and check on it, open it up, and they're looking great. Had some apple juice in my spritz, spray some apple juice, layer the flavor. And I'm turning them over, and they're looking beautiful. You know, just beautiful. I couldn't wait. Smelling good, too. And I'm like, okay, keep the smoke And the good fumes going that way, because I know there's a woman somewhere in this apartment complex who's smelling it, and she's going to knock on my door any moment. Finally, after about a good 45 minutes, I pulled them off, and oh my gosh, no sauce needed again. And I even made barbecue sauce for them, and I forgot it. It was on my plate, and I forgot it.
And you just ate the chicken with
I was talking to my mom at the time.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, mom, this is so good. She's like, what'd you make? Chicken. And oh, my gosh, it is. So, and I went on and said, it's so good. Just so good. What are you having? A salad. Oh, well, this chicken is really good. And they came out fantastic. My daughter came home and her friend had it. And, of course, there went six of them. We went through them all. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just give us some time. She's a growing teenage girl.
Right,
give it time and she'll go through it. Otherwise, it was so good. I'm mastering, little by little, mastering sauce on the side.
Yeah.
And not need it.
Flavor.
Yes, just the flavor of the flavor. I just wish I would have done it like the night before.
Yeah.
That way I had time to get into the meat, but it tastes so good. So that was my adventure.
Wow.
And also this wasn't this weekend. It was last weekend because it's cold. But just the other day, I actually went out and found some T-bone steaks for $7.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm like, oh, how could you do this? Now, that's a shame. Bought like two. Oh, that's just horrible, horrible, bad for you people. You should be ashamed of yourselves. Now I got to grill all these. It's a bad thing.
Yeah.
$20 steaks for $7. How could you? So now they're ready to be grilled.
All right. Well, hey, looks like it's going to be a good weekend. It's
absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Get out on the patio.
Exactly.
And put something together.
Exactly. And keep those fumes going, you know, out to the complex. Someone, a woman's going to smell it and come knock on my door. You just wait.
All right. Sounds like another passing grade.
Woohoo!
Yeah. You know, 2021, we got some new things for the doctor to try, but looks like, you know, after passing your 2020 test, you're ready to go into the next semester.
That's right. That's right. Here I am. I'm starting my spring semester.
All right. Hey, well, it's time for us to take a break. But when we come back, we're going to be talking to Scott Benson. He's going to be bringing us the good news. Mm-hmm. And we're going to be talking about chiropractic medicine.
Ooh.
So hang in. We'll be right back.
Hey, Tucson, do you have a hankering for some good old down-home cooking? Well, you're in luck. Along with our award-winning barbecue, we have Southern Fried Catfish, mac and cheese, collard greens, fried okra, peach cobbler, sweet potato pie, and much more. 745-4746. That's 745-4746. Or visit our website. Come on down to Kent's Hardwood Barbecue and get your barbecue on.
Hey, welcome back to Get Your Barbecue On, the podcast with Ken Alexander. I'm here with the doctor, Dr. Andre Jones.
Dun, dun.
And we have our special guest here, our first guest for 2021.
Who is it?
Scott Benson, Dr. Woo-hoo. Scott Benson.
All right.
Yeah, Fifth Street Chiropractic.
Another doctor in the house. Imagine that. Two doctors in the house.
Hey, Scott, welcome to the show.
Man, thanks for having me. Ken, I mean, I'm having fun already.
Yeah. Now, we've been wanting to get you on the show for a long time, Scott. It's because there's so much, I guess I would say, confusion, folks, you know, a lot of different kind of, I would say, urban myths and urban legends about chiropractic medicine. And I wanted to get you on the show because, you know, I've been going to you for quite some time, and I know how much it has helped me. So I really, but when I talk to a lot of my friends and say, hey, man, maybe you ought to go see the chiropractor. Say, oh, no, I'm not doing that. I heard this. I heard that. So
don't break my bones.
One of the reasons we want to have you on the show is to just dispel some of all these rumors and what and just kind of educate us on chiropractic medicine.
Be happy to do that. after 37 years in practice and finishing up 37 and heading towards 38.
Wow.
Yes, believe it or not. Time does fly. So, and I've probably heard all the same things you've heard.
Yeah.
In fact, I've handed cards to people at time. They say, no way. I wouldn't see a chiropractor. Well, I could tell you this much about chiropractic.
Yeah.
As far as insurance companies, and you know, they will insure you to the extent that if you are a dangerous entity, for instance, a medical doctor,
where
you're cutting into somebody, you're removing organs,
yeah,
they pay a lot in malpractice premiums,
because
stuff happens,
right?
And chiropractors have the lowest malpractice premium rates of any physicians, including anesthesiologists, podiatrists, dentists.
Wow.
So if that tells you how safe it might be, it's extremely safe.
Wow.
Yes.
Yeah, that says a lot right there.
Yeah.
That says a lot right there.
Kind of a surprise, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So how did you get involved? What made you want to go into chiropractic medicine?
You know, the first exposure I really had to it was an old friend of mine in undergrad school. And I was taking a degree. My dad was an accountant, so I was going to go into accounting. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I was in the end of my first couple of years just getting my gen eds out of the way.
Yeah. Right.
And so I took a speech class because I had to.
Yeah.
And one of the guys in the class, his brother, was a chiropractor. And he was going to be a chiropractor. He was in there getting his gen eds out of the way to be a chiropractor.
Yeah.
And so he did a 30-minute speech on chiropractic.
Wow. Oh.
And I was blown away.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, he didn't talk about, we take care of back pain and neck pain. He started going into infertility problems in women and how low back adjustments in women would turn the power on to their ovaries and uterus.
Wow.
And then they'd be able to have kids. So he was talking about problems with peptic ulcer disease, which also caught my attention, and how it was treated through conservative means through chiropractic.
Wow.
And when he did that and he said all that, I was just amazed. All I ever knew is my granddad would see a chiropractor, in fact, a guy that lived right up the street from us, and practiced out of his house. And he told me that was the only relief he ever got for his back pain.
He'd
spend 2-3 weeks each year in a hospital in traction. And they told him, you know, stand under a hot shower, that'll help. But he went to this chiropractor and he got relief.
Wow.
And so that was a real positive experience. And then the other one was that when we were seniors in high school, two old friends of mine were out driving we had our license, we're out driving late at night, and he got into a head-on collision with a semi-tractor trailer.
Ooh.
One of my good friends was killed, and the other one was thrown out of the car into a snowbank, this is Chicago, and survived.
Wow.
And after that, he had serious problems with headaches, chronic pain, and the only way that the medical doctors knew to treat him at that time was to give him drugs and then, you know, put him off. If they can't help you, you know, it's like a failure for them, and they don't even want to see you, so they just give you stuff to take. And this guy was addicted to drugs and other things.
No.
And a very good friend, a dear friend, and one day he comes up to me and says, guess what? I went to see a chiropractor. And I was like, oh, wow. Yeah, right. Who knew? And and he goes and he says, you've got to come in and meet this guy.
Yeah.
You got to watch and see what he does to me. My back pain's getting better. I'm getting off of the drugs. You know, we were all avoiding the guy too, because that's all he'd ever talk about was how much pain he was in.
Of course.
And, you know, if you can't help him, you just feel frustration.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I went in and I watched the whole procedure and I thought, wow, okay. That's really, really interesting. And so he started getting better. He was able to go back to work. Most of what was ailing him went away. Of course, in a serious wreck like that, you know, he still had some issues. But he got right back into being a normal, healthy, productive
That's
friend.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So that was your high school friend. So this was after, this is while you were in college or when?
Well, that happened while we were, in fact, that happened when we were in high school, but it was probably a year out when I was already in college.
And then you were introduced to it again in that, that's great.
Yeah, just seemed like the pieces just intertwined and locked together just like they should have.
Right.
Like it was meant to be.
Yeah.
So from there, you decided that you were going to, that was the field you were going to go to and study from there. Is that when it started?
I changed everything over from business immediately and went full time, including the summer courses, so I could get the necessary biology courses and chemistry courses, because everything I had taken up till then was associated with business.
Mm-hmm.
So I got to work getting all those courses out of the way and got my degree in biology, and then matriculated after that to chiropractic college, to the first one that could accept me. There is a good chiropractic college in Illinois.
Yeah.
But because of I had to wait another semester to take a couple other classes or something, I went to school at Logan College of Chiropractic Medicine in St. Louis, Missouri.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
All
right.
So, and that was about 5 hours away from where I was, just far enough from home.
Right. A good distance away from home, but not too far away from home. Yeah. Right.
So you finished your education, you finished that. And so do you have to like intern somewhere, or what happens once you finish all your schoolwork?
Well, you know, with chiropractic, you know, we're not cutting in, we're not stitching people up. There's mostly no big trauma, no bleeding, no resetting of bones. So you do the first part, the internship, while you're an upperclassman. And so the first 2 years was all the sciences, including science courses I had never taken, like orthopedy. Orthopedy is a study of the spine. And so that was one of the courses. And of course, we took chemistry, organic and biochemistry. I was chemistried out by then.
I'm sure.
But that's how I learned, when I first went into chiropractic college, what they do is they set you up with another doctor who's an upperclassman. And that's his first exposure to treating outside people besides practicing on your fellow classmates.
Right.
And adjusting them. Mm-hmm. So he goes, they take x-rays of you, you know, your full spine. And he came with, and he showed me my pictures, and he says, well, he explains about the problems, and I had a little curve in my spine, and then it was all over. He made some recommendations. He says, oh, and by the way, do you have any problems at all with your stomach? And I said, yeah, I've got peptic ulcer disease. I had had in undergrad school, I was diagnosed with a duodenal ulcer.
Wow.
Yeah. And it was miserable. You'd get under stress, and the next thing you know, your stomach was burning. I had to get on a special diet.
Hmm.
And the miracle drug at the time was Tegamet. And so that I would get on it, and I would take it, and the pain would go away magically. And then over the next 3, 4, 5 months, as I got weaned off of it, it would start coming back.
Hmm.
And he says that to me, and he says, and I said, yeah, in fact, I do. I have a problem with the duodenal ulcer that flares up quite, you know, a few times a year. And he said, well, and that is because you've got this curve in your spine, and it goes up this way, and right at T6, it starts going, well, T6, where it changes direction, is the nerve supply to your stomach and your small intestine.
Hmm.
And I said, oh, okay, sure, fix that. And, you know, so he was treating me 3 times a week, getting in his, you know, prerequisites, we think he gave me a couple nutritional supplements for my duodenum. And so after that semester, gradually the pain went away, and it did not return.
Wow.
I had peptic ulcer disease, and it was miserable. And after the first semester of chiropractic college is when I first started getting adjusted.
Mm-hmm.
It went away, and it has never come back.
Wow.
And I'm big on that one. When people come in and I palpate, that means I touch their spinal bones as mm-hmm. in the examination, and I'm running down the spine and I hit a bone that's tender and they go, ow, oh, that one's tender. Okay, all right, well, that one is for your gallbladder. And mm-hmm. and the one underneath it, is that sore too? Not as much. That's for your liver.
Yeah.
Bam, bam. T6, T7, ah, oh, oh, that's sore. And so, and I say, are you having any problems with your stomach? And they go, well, yeah, I'm taking the purple pill. And, you know, I take it every day, so I don't have that problem. And I said, you know what? We're going to get rid of that for you.
All right.
Wow.
I know most people are like, what?
Just simply by an adjustment.
Yes. Yeah, yes. Right. Yeah. And I'll tell you how that works in a second. I'm sure you're going to.
Yeah. Yeah. We certainly are. Yeah. Yeah. So.
My mind's blown.
Again, who knew?
Yeah.
Yeah. Who knew? So you finished up school and you started, did you start practice here in Tucson, or where'd you start practice?
I did. I drove.
Yeah.
Right before I graduated, a buddy of mine was coming to Tucson to look for a house to buy because he mm-hmm. knew he was going to come here. He had graduated from the U of A and he had a family and was going to be settling here. He said, you ever been to Tucson? I said, no, I hadn't. So I had no clue. I'm from Chicago. It's flat. Yeah, unless you're downtown Chicago, then there's a lot of skyscrapers.
Right.
It is flat. And it's mm-hmm. farmland once you get far enough out south.
Right.
Beans and corn. Yeah. So I just was blown away because we flew in and I see mountains on all sides.
Right.
And it was November, so there was some snow in the mountains.
Right.
And I saw mountains. And I was just, you know, I think really I had been through Colorado and I had some memories of seeing the Rockies, but it just took me by surprise, the beauty of the desert.
Mm. Wow.
And as soon as I saw it, I thought, yeah, I could live here because I did not want to move back to the cold weather.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I saw there was California or there was, now Tucson was an option. And as soon as I saw it, and this was one of my very dear friends that I went all through chiropractic college with and just had a good time. So I thought, well, yeah, I got people I know and I really like the environment. In fact, he took me up to Mount Lemmon.
So nice.
We saw the snow. Yeah.
Yeah.
Nothing like it. Again, just kind of blown away. I still am. We have a house that's got a nice view of the mountains, and I can sit and look at a mountain like people watch a fire.
You know, oh, I love it.
You know, it's mesmerizing.
It is.
Oh, that's great. That's great.
Our majestic mountains.
Well, yeah. Good.
On all sides.
Yeah. Right.
So, we're all anxious to know. So how does chiropractic medicine work? What is it that you do, and what is it that the body does to fix stuff?
Well, yes. Glad you asked me that. So what I tell patients is this. Chiropractors are a lot like electricians. That's mm-hmm. what we do.
Yeah.
I say, think of your brain as a big generator that makes all the messages that tells your body what to do and when to do it.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, your brain produces the message that makes all the functions happen in your body, voluntary and involuntary.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so if the brain sits up in your skull, and so, well, how do the messages then get down to your body? Well, there's a big cable that hangs off of the brain, and that's your spinal cord.
Hmm.
And that spinal cord happens to go down through this hollowed out section of all your vertebra.
Hmm.
And so, in other words, your 24 freely movable spinal bones are the conduit for your electrical system.
Okay. Huh.
And then between each and every vertebra, smaller wires come off of that cable or that spinal cord, and they exit out between each and every vertebra. Can you see those?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And so you've got 24 freely movable spinal bones that protect that, and then you've got another 5 nerves that come out down here on the sacrum, and this is all fused together.
Mm-hmm.
So these electrical wires that come out from in between each vertebra, that's what goes to plugging everything in.
Hmm.
In other words, when I told you about my peptic ulcer disease,
right?
Well, my spine comes up and it goes a little like this and like that. So T6, where the nerve that comes out of T6 plugs in the stomach, plugs in part of the pancreas, plugs in the small intestines, parts of the small intestine. So every one of these wires, every one of these nerves plugs in a lot of little things and a couple of big things. And so, and that's how the body functions. It sends power down to this area. It gets you to have a bowel movement. It gets you to breathe. It gets your heart to beat. Yeah. And then that same nerve transmits activity back up into that brain. So it's communicating back and forth. So if you want to function at 100%, you have to get all the power from your brain to get down through your cord, out to the organ, and then back and back up to your brain without any interruption. Now, if you've got that, you've got 100% function.
Wow.
Now, what does happen and what brings most people in to see me is that one of these spinal bones can become fixated, locked up, stuck. And we call it a subluxation. That's what we treat. A subluxation is a minor misalignment of the spine or one of the spinal bones that causes a loss of normal function. So now all the power is not getting to that area. Now all the power wasn't getting to my duodenum, and I developed a weak link there. Now that probably didn't happen overnight. I had that curve in my back for
quite some time.
I had. And so, and I didn't have any of these issues until I got into about my second year of college. And so over time, you know, your body's always reproducing cells that replace old cells. So as if you don't have all the power going to the area, well, are you going to produce strong, healthy, resistant cells that make up the new tissue? Or is it going to be a little weaker? And I had a weakened link there. And that's what eventually started causing my symptoms. Now, weakened link, when you think of it, that's what cancer attacks. Cancer is an opportunist, and it attacks areas that have lowered resistance. And that's where lowered resistance comes from areas that aren't getting all the power, so they're just not quite as responsive. The immune response isn't as good in those areas, and that area starts to become a weak link, and eventually symptoms will develop. Now, when people come in to see me for low back pain, and that's probably the biggest complaint or the most frequent complaint that people come to see me for. And those, when you have low back pain, we're talking one of the vertebrae down in your lower back. And normally it's the very one at the bottom. The fifth lumbar is probably misaligned or subluxated most frequently. And it's the one that you're, when you sit down, all the way to sitting on your L5-S1. And that, and every vertebra has a shock absorber pad between it. And that is called a disc. And those discs are there for shock absorber. Well, when you get a vertebra that gets locked down and puts stress on that disc, it causes the disc to have an inflammatory response. Well, this whole area down here is filled with anatomy. So when you have a an inflammatory response going on, that inflammation will migrate posteriorly, and it aggravates the nerve that comes out or interrupts the signal, much like a short circuit in a wire. So all the power is now not getting to the muscles in your low back. So that's the first thing you're probably going to notice, is that your back is stiff, it's sore, catches once in a while. I have to take some aspirin or Tylenol, and then it seemed to get over it, and then until it comes back again. And it's usually the same pain pattern, the same problem. And then it, as it becomes more chronic, you find that, well, it's taken a few days for it to go away now, instead of it's gone tomorrow after a good night's sleep. And you're having to do things like maybe put ice on it or put heat on it. And then usually some person will have an episode that they cannot go to work. They cannot put their socks on.
They can't get out of bed.
Yeah, can't get out of bed.
People like that.
Well, so the power to that area is now in serious a crisis situation.
Right.
But now, what you don't many times realize, because you have back pain and that's your focus, is that the same, a little sprig of that nerve that comes off of L5 comes around to the front and it plugs in your bladder.
Mm.
And it plugs in your prostate. And it plugs in your urethra.
Oh.
And it plugs in your anus.
Oh.
And not the planet. And so what happens is all of these other things start to happen.
Hmm.
Well, you're not going to notice prostate trouble right away.
Right.
You know, maybe you start, you know, and I'll ask patients about that since it's so frequent. Are you having to get up at night and use the bathroom where you weren't before? Or is it difficulty starting the flow or urination? And almost every time they say, you know what? I have been going more often. I've had to get up and I'm sore. And so all these things. And men, prostate troubles, that is not something that you want to have.
Right.
And the people, men that have low back problems for many years, end up having prostate troubles too.
Wow.
Go figure. It's the
right.
same nerve, and
right.
if the power's not getting to the prostate, it will enlarge. It will not function properly. It may cause you to have to get up and use the bathroom more frequently, and other problems later on too.
Sure.
Wow. So... yeah.
That makes sense.
That does make sense. That does make sense. So, hey, it's time for us to take a break, but when we return, we'll be back with Dr. Benson talking more about chiropractic medicine. Stay tuned. This is Ken from Ken's Hardwood Barbecue Restaurant, where we have created a blend of barbecue and southern cooking. We have taken the best barbecue styles and flavors from Texas, Missouri, and the Carolinas. What food has meant to my family is a way to come together in fellowship. We invite you to come and join us. We are located at 5250 East 22nd Street in Tucson at the crossroads of Craycroft and 22nd. Call us at 520-745-4746. Come on down and get your barbecue on. Hey, welcome back to Get Your Barbecue On with Ken Alexander. I'm here with the doctor, Dr. Andre Jones. And we're here, we got a great conversation going on with Dr. Scott Benson of 5th Street Chiropractic.
My brain's already blown. I can't think now.
Glad to hear that.
Yeah. So Scott, now, so what can a new patient expect? Say he's got having some back pain or something like that. What can a new patient expect when it is first time coming to the office?
Well, they come in, they fill out some paperwork, so I have the history to refer to, and then I will ask them about their problem. That is the consultation part, and I will ask them if it's low back pain, is the pain radiating into your buttocks or leg, how long has it been there, what started it that you're aware of, and I run through all that, and then I will tell them how chiropractic works, much like I explained it to you. And then we'll put them in a gown so I could see their spine, and I will do an orthopedic neurological exam to determine if they are chiropractic patients.
Okay.
And if they are, and I finish the exam, I will normally take an x-ray, unless they have, and nowadays it does happen, people come in with their x-rays, they have them on a disc that I can look at, but if they don't have recent x-rays, I will take a front and a side view minimally of the area of involvement.
Okay.
And then I put the x-rays up, I show them to the patient, and it's always a surprise. You never know. I mean, you could get some people that have seemingly minimal symptoms, And they have moderate to severe degenerative changes in their back already, indicating that the problem is chronic and it's been there a long time.
Wow.
And other times I get patients that have serious pain and have a pretty good spine to work with. Mm-hmm. So we take the x-rays. I explain to them where the problem is. And the x-ray is like a blueprint for me. It tells me how long the problem's been there. It tells me which vertebra to pick out and also which way to push it so that the patient gets better. Mm-hmm. And I show the pictures and I tell them, and then we take them into the treatment room where I will adjust very specifically the area of complaint, and usually it'll move. The patient will get off the table and say, yeah, that took the edge off my problem. Mm-hmm. And then I'll tell them, you're probably going to be sore later. And as is usually the case, later on, they feel like they have a different kind of soreness, mm-hmm. like they've worked out in the gym kind of soreness, different from when they came in. And that's how the process starts. And after that, I see somebody probably two, three, four times in a row, so I can get the feel for their spine, see how it's going to move, see what how they feel when they come in. And then after that, I get a pretty good feel for how long it's going to take to knock the problem out. And if it is an old chronic problem, and if the L5 S1 disc pad is significantly worn down, and it's, I will make recommendations. I could say, and I will tell them, it's up to you. If you want to just knock the pain out and come back when it returns 6 months later or however, we can do that. Or you can get some corrective care so we can restore the normal motion into that joint or as close as we're going to get to normal. Mm-hmm. And that case, removing the undue stress off of that disc, which will slow down the degeneration of that segment in the future.
Yeah, so that is like, that kind of tells you, so it looks like two different kind of treatments. One takes longer than the other. Is that?
Yes.
Right, right.
Yes. Okay. Relief care comes first, and it usually happens pretty quickly. A lot quicker if you're young. If you're 18, 19 years old, sometimes it only takes an adjustment or two. Mm-hmm. And if you're older, you know, might take 10 visits.
Right. Okay. Okay. And so I guess, yeah, you kind of explained how long it takes for, you know, just sort of like to get some relief and the pain to go away and that kind of stuff. So, I mean, are there patients that come in that you have to refer elsewhere or something like that? What are those patients, the ones that, what does that look like?
It happens. It really doesn't happen all that much, but from time to time, I'll get somebody who comes in moderate to severe pain. They can hardly get out of the chair. They're not standing up straight. They can hardly get down on the table for the examination. And I check their reflexes. The reflex is missing. And usually right then and there, I'll stop and say, you have a more serious problem. And I will refer them for neurosurgical consultation so that we get them to the proper allied healthcare practitioner to properly treat the problem. It does come up, but not that often. The body has an amazing capacity, no matter how bad it is, to heal. Mm-hmm. And to come back and to regenerate if, you know, you could turn the power back on and restore the motion in the segment. And that is usually the case. So I never say never unless the obvious signs are that, no, you have a more serious problem. Conservative care isn't going to work for you.
Right, right, right.
You know, when you said earlier, a question that came to mind is when you said earlier about pain. And at least in my experience and understanding is that we don't really know how to treat pain very well. And it sounds like chiropractor really comes in and takes away a lot of the pain and takes a lot of the edge out of it. And the one thing I've noticed is that I see a lot of people who are hunched over on their phones. Like they do this hunching motion here on their phones. What is that doing to the spine? What is that exactly doing? Yeah, and we don't even know it.
Well, yes, and looking forward, head tilted forward, head in the forward flexed position to look down into their screen instead of holding the screen up high enough. What that does, it goes against the natural curve in your neck. You have a curve that is a forward curve. It's called a lordotic curve in your neck. And people who look down a lot or are tummy sleepers do not have the screen adjusted properly for the height, the computer screen, those people start to experience achy, stiff, sore neck, pain across the top of the shoulders. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, having your spine forward like that all the time causes the curve, the dowager type hump looking extra curve, exaggerated curve in your upper back. So it does. It causes a normal, healthy spine to start having undue stress, especially the weight bearing on the vertebra. And if you have the normal lordotic curve in your neck, all of the weight from your head gets thrown to the bodies of the vertebra out front. And they're built to take that kind of weight.
Yeah.
But when you have your head forward and you go and you take that natural curve and reverse it, then all the weight from your head, from a physics standpoint, throws back to the facets where the nerves exit out, that's not built to take that, and you start having one shoulder getting more sore than the other,
right.
Shoulder achy, soreness in your shoulder, numbness and tingling in your fingers, maybe waking up with a couple fingers falling asleep, or your hand falls asleep when you wake up in the middle in the morning and you feel it. At the same time, that's a C5, C6, subluxation in your neck. Keep in mind that same nerve that comes out there that's plugging this in, plugging some muscles in your arm, plugging right. in the sensory to your fingers, is also plugging in your thyroid, your parathyroid, your throat tissues, some of the glands that produce saliva. So again, now you're not just stressing out the musculoskeletal, you're also stressing out glands that produce hormones. The thyroid is like the thermostat of the body, it can help you run high or cold. It can slow down your metabolism. So it can affect all kinds of functions in your body that, again, come from the nervous system, but not necessarily related to, you know, having a bad neck.
Wow. That's all interconnected. Just by sitting there curving your neck and looking at your phone or looking at a screen.
Yes.
Amazing.
It has produced lots of new patients for chiropractors.
I'm sure.
Massage therapists.
Right. Is it safe? Is this what you're doing? Is it safe for people? Because that's one of the biggest things that I hear people like, oh, I don't know. I don't want to do that.
Yes. I've had a patient. He says, I don't know, doc. I send lots of people to you. I tell them I go in there. You jump on my bones and you crack my neck. And I said, hey. You start telling people like, nobody wants to hear their neck crack.
Right. You or know, you jumping on their bones. Right.
Yes. Jeez. You may understand it and it feels good to you.
Right.
But that is not a good description to get people through my door.
Right.
So it is safe. And as I mentioned earlier, it is chiropractors pay the least amount in malpractice premiums because we hurt people the least amount of time. And there are many things that I do that make it safer, in my opinion. And that is I take x-rays.
Right.
Yeah.
So I'm not just looking at the x-ray saying negative for fracture, negative for a disease process happening. I look at the spine and I look to see where is the open wedge on that disc? Mm-hmm. Is a vertebra squeezing down more or wedging the disc more on one side than the other? And I'm very careful that the technique that I use is very specific. It's called Gonstead technique, and it takes to be a Gonstead provider, you had to take extra classes. It requires more speed. So I really believe that all of those safety precautions and the specificity of the adjustment has probably kept me out of trouble and from hurting somebody and producing good results for most people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right.
So from what you were saying earlier about when someone comes in with their spine, you look at their spine, it's pretty much true that everyone's spine is different, right? Everyone has a different set of spine.
Yes. You know, and I, what, well, people generally don't come in my office and say, I feel great. I am healthy. I'm doing everything I'm supposed to be right. doing. But yeah. I just like to find out if I have a subluxation and get adjusted.
Yeah.
And so most people that I see have some problems. They may have a leg that's shorter, that never caught up with the other leg, a congenital short leg on one side, oof. Which causes, it can cause a curve in the spine.
Yep.
We will see people that have been traumatized. They've been in a rear-end collision and has caused a soft tissue damage to the muscles in the neck, to the ligaments of the spine. Mm-hmm. And by the way, there's 9 ligaments that holds each spinal bone on top of each other in its normal alignment. And when you get hit hard, you get hit at 30 miles an hour mm-hmm. from behind, and you're not expecting it, it's going to cause some micro tearing
yeah.
of those soft tissues.
Yeah.
So in those cases, it's not just adjusting them a few times to take the pressure off the nerve and restore the motion in the joint. It's using their bones as levers to remodel that tissue that is mm-hmm. growing, the new tissue, the scar tissue, the fibrotic tissue, which is no longer nice and spongy and elastic like the normal tissue.
Right.
They're fibrocytes that make it, and it's fibrotic. Mm. And now this new area of fibrosis is less elastic. It's more pain sensitive mm-hmm. because where the old tissue meets the new tissue that's growing, new sensory nerve endings develop. So that's more rehabilitative work also.
Yeah.
You know, that's going to take a couple of few months of regular care
yeah.
to remodel that tissue so it's better adaptable for the future.
Yeah. So it sounds like it depends on what the person comes in with and what they're going to need, really.
And what their history was, correct.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Right. I would say this, that you know, you can't just go to see a chiropractor and hope now that you're going to be at 100% function.
Mm.
There are 5, I'm a spoke, a cog in the wheel, and there are other spokes that everybody needs to see to it that they get each and every one of these 5 factors or facets of health. And one of them, as you can imagine, is exercise.
Mm-hmm.
Exercise is very important. And I recommend exercise in each and every body part that you have, all the muscles.
Right.
And then I also recommend that you exercise your heart and lungs.
Yeah.
So working, so that can take 6 days a week of working out. And working out is fun.
Right.
And working out, most people, once, you know, they don't do it because they don't know how beneficial it is and how good it feels. Mm-hmm. When you work out, do you get a little buzz from it?
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
And that's one of the benefits of it.
Sure.
The morphine-type substances that are made to make the area not so pain sensitive.
Right.
Number 2, of course, is nutrition. Eating properly. Ken,
right.
you could probably tell us all about that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And perhaps some supplementation as well. And then 3 is getting enough rest at night. You need to get 6 to 8 hours of sleep, mm-hmm. and maybe more if you're much younger, and less as we get older. But that allows your spine to regenerate. The sleeping allows, you know, gravity not to pull down on your spine, and so the disc spaces puff up a little bit. You might notice when you get in your car in the morning that you have to readjust your rear view mirror because you sit up a little taller.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so that's because you're getting enough rest. Also, stress control. Stress is considered to be the biggest catalyst, if you will, for any disease process.
Right.
Stress can cause you to have peptic ulcer disease.
Yeah.
And stress can cause T6 to start feeling pain,
yeah.
you know, in your back. So stress control. In other words, maybe don't watch the news 3 times a week. Stay away from the newspaper. Yeah. Read the funnies.
Right. Yeah, right. Especially right. before going to bed. Right.
And then, of course, the chiropractic. We take care of your nervous system. And your nervous system is what controls everything in your body.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can work out until the cows come home, but if you have an irritated nerve in your neck and you're working your biceps, the one side is never going to develop as profoundly as the other side.
Oh, wow.
And so chiropractic care is essential, and it's one of the five facets of health that will keep you at 100% function.
That's amazing. Right.
Yeah, that is amazing.
Can I ask you, do you take insurance?
Yes, yes. I'm a provider for insurance companies. We take Medicare. And in fact, a lot of my patients have aged over the years with me and are now on Medicare.
Right.
Longtime old friends now. Mm-hmm. And yes, we accept, I'm a provider for United and ASH Network, so Aetna, Blue Cross, Blue Shield. And so most of the time, you do not need a referral to come into my office.
Okay.
You can self-refer. And many times there's just a copay that you'll have to handle. And so we ask you to check with your insurance, find out what your copay is.
Sure.
And we do. And so we try and make it as easy as possible to get people in. And so most people are insured and have chiropractic coverage.
Got it. Okay.
That's great.
Cool.
Now, this is a cooking show. And we like to ask our guests about, you know, what they do, how they cook, grill, cook food. And I am aware that you're a hunter and you have, you have a lot of wild game. And so how do you prepare that game?
Well, you know, first you got to get the game.
Right. So what do you hunt for number one?
Well, I put in for elk and deer each year here in Arizona.
Okay.
And when you get drawn, then you can go out. And if you're lucky and you're lucky. In the same place that the deer is, you can harvest a deer.
Right.
I have taken a couple of elk. Mm-hmm. And you know, I have become fairly proficient at butchering the animal.
Okay.
No.
And packaging the goods, roasts, and we'll make some hamburger.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, I like to keep the fillets and the steaks separate, and from time to time break those out on special occasions.
Wow.
And I will grill them, and and I have a fireplace outside that I will and. You know, I'm not the expert like you. And mostly I have a lot of mesquite on my land. And so, you know, I'll use the wood to get
this. That's good.
It does make it tasty.
Yeah.
And I have found, of course, with the steaks that they need to be medium rare.
Yeah.
For the animals that you harvest, because there's no fat on them.
Yeah. Right.
So if you overcook them, they're going to be dry and
too
tough.
Right.
So, but I would stand by and take your advice on, you know, cooking techniques.
Right.
You know, I've never gotten into the smoking thing as much.
Uh-huh.
So there's still hope and room for me to do that.
I love it. Yeah.
You know, I meant to bring a pheasant for you that I have on ice. Yeah.
Because,
and I am going to do that. You need to, I want to hear how you did it and how it turned out.
I'm looking forward to like smoking a pheasant.
Right.
Yeah.
We went to North Dakota last year and we're, you know, had a pretty good year. You get to take three per day. So, I've got two left. So,
all right.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Good times. That's good too. The exercise when you're out there.
Right.
And, you know, you can't be stressed out. All you're doing is concentrating on hunting and trying, you know, to...
And it takes some patience.
Yes.
Can't be in a hurry.
That's right. Yeah, but we really enjoy it. And roasts, you know, we'll put that in the crock pot usually and season it up.
Mm-hmm.
And it's wonderful. And it always tastes better when you harvested the animal yourself.
Right. I bet it does. Yeah.
Sure.
Now, you're a doctor, too.
No. Just doctor. D-O-C-T-A.
He's a doctor.
Yeah. Okay. I have five college degrees, though, but yeah, medicine's not one. Know a lot about medicine, though.
Dr. Andre Jones.
Mm-hmm.
So, no, that's great. And I look forward to smoking that pheasant one day.
Now, are you, we'll bring that in for you. If you're here and I can find you here, or you stop by the office and I'll let you know, I'll bring it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I stop by the office and I need to come in for adjustment anyway. I'll let you know.
After hearing the description. And you have an interesting low back.
Yeah, yeah. Of course I do. It does. That's
why we take x-rays. Everybody has a textbook spine. There are some variations.
Yeah, right. Some variations and little league, high school.
I was about to say, all the sports
football,
and everything else.
As you know, that can definitely affect your spine health.
Just saying.
I know. So preaching to the choir.
Yeah.
So how can we find you? How can people find you?
Well, I'm in Tucson. I'm at 5602 East 5th Street. So that puts me at 5th, just east of Craycroft. So I'm pretty central east. And I also have a website that you can check out. And it's www.5thStreet, and it's 5th Street spelled out, chiropractic.com. And you can find me there, my website. In fact, generally speaking, that's what most people find. They'll look you up and look at reviews. And if you sound like you know what you're talking about, they'll come in and take a chance.
That's right.
And then if you ever travel up and down Fifth Street, there's my sign out there. Southwestern Eye is one of my neighbors, and Anshai Israel's on the other side. I'm on the south side of the street, and 5602.
All right. Well, it was great having you on the show. We really appreciate you taking the time to educate us on chiropractic medicine. And I know I learned some stuff, and hopefully our listeners, have a better idea of what it's all about.
My brain hurts.
Hope so, too. And thank you for having me. I rarely get out of my office to talk about chiropractic. It was a lot of fun, and it was fun to do something different.
Yeah, you did a really great job.
Thank you.
Bringing it to us novices.
So, yes.
Thank you.
My pleasure.
All right. Take care, Dr. Benson.
Thank you. You, too.
Hey, that's a wrap. Thank you for joining us today on Get Your Barbecue On with Ken Alexander. Remember, you can also hear us on Anchor.fm, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and of course on our website, kenshardwoodbbq.com. Thank you and take care.